Way to go, guys. That was so good. Man, that's so exciting. And it is hard to get up in front of people and have your story shared and to be that vulnerable and to go public with your faith and a bit about your story. So thank you. I'm so proud of each one of you. We're so encouraged by what God has done and is doing in your life. And that's what I want to talk about for a few minutes here this morning. I don't know what your view of Christianity is, or going to church, or even religion in general. A lot of us have tried it, and sometimes it kind of comes off as there's a bunch of things that I need to do to try to be more moral, to try harder, maybe to be accepted by God by something that we do or say, to show up to church every week, those kind of things. But what we're talking about today and what these stories have told us is that that's really not the case. That's not what this is all about. That's not what Jesus is all about. It's not what the church is all about. It's kind of off-putting, actually, because a lot of us have thought that way in different areas of our life or at different times in our life. And we've tried so hard to get better or to accomplish something that gives us a certain amount of value or esteem or for God to accept us or for other people to accept us. And we've tried and tried, and sometimes we've made progress for a while, and sometimes it looks like we're doing really good. But in the end, many of us have had the experience where we feel like we're fighting ourselves. We're trying to get over the hump. We're trying to get there. We're trying to achieve something. We're trying to be loved. But something always gets in the way. And sometimes, maybe even the way that we see ourselves gets in our way of finding God, of growing as a person, of getting in touch spiritually with our true identity and with what God wants for us. In fact, what Jesus taught that we can't expect real life change unless there's real heart change. See, what we're talking about when we hear these stories is not a tweak in their life. It's not turning over a new leaf. It's not trying something a little bit different to try and get their life on track. What we're talking about is a deep down change in their heart, in their soul, in who they are. And what Jesus taught is that we can't just go around trying to conform, trying to have our behavior look a certain way. That's not how God loves you. That's not how you get accepted. It's not even how you grow as a person. But if you really want to change, if you really want to be a different person, if you really want to stop fighting yourself, there needs to be a heart change. On the deepest level of who we are, we need to be transformed. And it's actually exactly what Jesus offers us. Is a completely new life. If you've been around here at Westside for the last month or so, we've been working through a series called Like Father, and we're talking about how Jesus taught this revolutionary thing that no one had ever thought of before in any religion, even his own, up until the point of Jesus. He was talking about what it looks like to relate to God and how God views us and how we can be in relationship with him, and there were all kinds of ideas about what that relationship would look like. There still are today. And what Jesus taught that nobody else had come up with was that when we relate to God, he wants to relate to us as a good father to his children. That we are invited to be sons and daughters of Almighty God. That we could actually use that kind of language and that kind of thinking in the way that we relate to a powerful and transcendent God. I mean, people have thought of gods as these cosmic masters and people simply as their slaves or pawns to do their bidding. But never before has someone come like Jesus did and taught people that when you pray to God, when you connect with God, call him your heavenly Father. And you know, some of us have really good father figures in our lives. Others of us haven't experienced that so much. And some of us, for whatever reason, we have absent fathers, fathers that aren't around. But what Jesus wanted to show us was that God was like the Father who, when his child is born, when that child was still weak and vulnerable and contributed nothing to the relationship, looked at his children and says, I love you. I will care for you. I will be here for you no matter what. Not because we add value or worth, not because we can do something to earn it, but because he's our loving heavenly Father, and when he sees his children, his heart goes out, and he says, I love you. And John was one of Jesus' closest followers and closest friends, and he wrote a verse in 1 John chapter 5, one of the one of the letters that we find in our New Testament that was written to a number of the early churches. And picking up on that theme, he says, "For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." As you pick it up, that first phrase, he says, "For everyone who has been born of God." For everyone who's been brought into the family, for everyone who's now experienced that you can come to God as his child, as his son or daughter, and apart from what you can do for him or what value or worth you think you can bring, he loves you before that and above that and beyond that, like a good dad does when his child is born. I'll give you an illustration of what this looks like for us to relate to God as our father and to be part of his family. When you were growing up, did you ever have that friend whose house you were at all the time? So much so that you felt like you were family. You know, you were there every day, and their parents kind of loved you like your parents, and it was just part of your life, part of who you are was being part of this family. But as you grew up, did you ever notice that eventually you may have stayed over, you may have been there overnight, you may have even stayed for a week on vacation at the summertime or something like that, but did you ever realize that eventually they kicked you out of their house and made you go home? Did you ever realize that when you graduated high school and went to university, their parents didn't pay for your tuition? Did you ever realize that even though you were a staple in their household and you were there all the time, when family reunions come around, you didn't get the invitation? Like you felt like you were so much part of the family and you were really, really close friends. But when it came down to it, it wasn't quite the same. Now compare that for a second with adoption, especially international adoption, if you know anything about that. There are so many children who are in orphanages all across the world, some of whom have nothing. They have no possessions. They have no wealth. They have no family. Many of them only have one name. They don't have a last name because they don't have a family. For many, they have no future, no hope. But something amazing happens when a couple comes to adopt a child and they jump through all the hoops and they raise all the money that's necessary and then they go through all of the paperwork and finally they come down to that part where they sign off on the official paperwork. And in that moment, and probably a whole ton of signatures, there's a legal transaction. Something happens in that moment where that couple becomes that child's parents. And all of a sudden, with the stroke of a pen, or maybe many strokes of a pen, a child who has no things, no family, and no future, all of a sudden is invited into a family and is given another name and is given hope, is given a future, and is given all the benefits that go along with being part of that family. All the things that had authority over them, the institution, the orphanage, the people that worked there, the government of their country, all of a sudden have no claim on that life because the parents have come and taken over. That's what it means to be born again in God. That everything else that has a claim or a stake on our life, all of a sudden has lost all of its authority. Because God has said, "I am your heavenly Father. You are my son. You are my daughter. We are family." And that is the offer that Jesus Christ gives to each one of us, that we might accept his grace, which means it's not something that we've done to earn it, that we might accept his forgiveness, that all the things that we regret that we have done that have hurt other people, that have hurt ourselves and hurt even God, might be wiped clean as Jesus offers us a way to come to the Father, and that all other things, institutions, people, feelings who have laid stake on our lives might be stripped away because we are God's. And he says, "For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world." See, God wants to give us new life. Like I said before, this isn't people turning over a new leaf. It's not people trying a little bit harder. It's not showing up to church so many times a month so that you can feel good. God doesn't want you to fight yourself. God doesn't want you to look at yourself and say, "I'm not a good person, and so I need to try and do all these things, and it's so hard, and I don't know if I can get over it." God wants to give you a new self. a new identity as part of his family. And that's what it means to be born of God. And John here says that those who are born of God, those who can accept that and have that relationship with God, overcome the world. This is picking up off of something that Jesus had taught John. Remember, John was a good friend and follower of Jesus. Jesus once said, "I have said these things to you." He's talking to the people that would follow him, his disciples. "That in me you may have peace. In the world you may have tribulation." That means trouble. "But take heart, I have overcome the world." Jesus says, "I don't want to sugarcoat this. I don't want you to think that this is something that it's not. You will have trouble in this world." That's all of our experience. We have trouble in this world. And when Jesus is talking about trouble in the world, here's some of the kinds of things that he means. He means guilt. You're going to have guilt in this world. You're going to have regrets, feelings that you shouldn't have done something that you did. You didn't do something that you should have. There are going to be things that weigh on your conscience that you wish weren't part of your life. You're going to experience rejection. Rejection from people maybe who are very close to you that make you feel like an outsider, that make you struggle with your self-esteem and your self-worth. He warned them that they'd struggle against religious persecution. And there are still people today in many parts of the world that are struggling against violent persecution. For many of us, sometimes it's mockery or it's emotional persecution in our culture. For what you can't possibly believe that. Why do you live that way? Nobody acts that way. He was talking about things like temptation. There's going to be times where you know you shouldn't do something, where your conscience tells you don't want to do it, but you do it anyway. He was talking about self-destructive behavior. Again, times where we know things aren't healthy for us or good for us. We just can't seem to help ourselves. And he was talking about death. Our ultimate enemy, that one day all of this is going to be gone. And will our lives mean anything? And have we had any purpose? And what's after that? You know, many of us feel some of this stuff somewhere on that spectrum, somewhere on that list. You find yourself, and maybe you find yourself fighting against yourself, or you feel like you're a victim, because your trouble can make you feel like a victim in a number of ways. You might feel a victim of your circumstances. Because of where I was born, because of my family of origin, because of my geography, because of trauma that I've experienced in my life. Therefore, I'll never be the same. Therefore, this is who I am, and this is how I act. You might feel a victim of temptation. We talked about that a little bit already. Maybe there's habits or addictions that you have in your life that you've tried over and over to get rid of, but you just feel like you can't get over the hump, or you feel like you've been doing good for a certain amount of time, but you always get dragged back into it. There are these temptations where you look at the world and say, I wish that I was a better husband. I wish I was a better wife. I wish I was a better parent. I wish I was a better friend. I wish I could do all these things, but I can't. Or sometimes I can, but sometimes I feel like I'm back at square one. Your trouble might make you feel like a victim of yourself. You might feel like you're a broken person. You might feel like you're a bad person. You might think or say things like, well, this is just who I am. This is how students are. This is what men do. This is how women act. It's just life. It's myself. And many of us have spent a lot of time trying to fight against ourselves. But Jesus didn't just say that you will have trouble in this world. He said that I have overcome the world. And John jumped on that and said, those who have been born of God overcome the world through Jesus. It's an incredible statement, actually. That word overcome in Jesus' culture in his day was never used for human beings. It's a word for victory, to conquer. It comes from the word Nike. Many of us, we know the company Nike. It means to win, to be victorious. It was the name of a goddess. And that word was only ever used for gods and goddesses because they were powerful, because they could affect change, because they could do something different, but not for humans. But then Jesus came and said, I have overcome the world. Incredibly, Jesus told his followers that they would have trouble in this world and then promised them that he would transform victims into victors. If you will follow me, if you will accept me, I will take victims and turn you into victors. You will overcome this world because I have overcome this world. Jesus conquered our guilt on the cross. He conquered the idea that we might be rejected, because what statement he made when he did that was that God loves you so much. He is a being that so loves this world that he would send his son into this world, and Jesus would die on the cross for our shortcomings, for all our failures, all of ours. That he would come to be the savior of the world. To say, if you want a new identity, if you need a new start, you can't just tweak your life to get there, but I will give you a new start. He conquered our regret by dying on the cross for us. That's what we showed here when we put people under the water, that they associated with that kind of death. Say, I'm dead to the person that I was. I'm dead to the person who is a bad person or a broken person. I'm dead to the person who makes tons of mistakes. Because what Jesus would do next would conquer death. Through the resurrection, the grave could not hold him. Death could not keep him down. Jesus Christ was resurrected into new life. He overcame our greatest enemy. That is death. That is finality. And he said to people who are victims that one day will be victims of death, and he transforms them into victors, even over death, because death couldn't hold him down. The grave could not keep him in. And so Jesus offers us life. That's what we showed when we bring the people out of the water, that they now associate with new life. I'm a new person. I have a new identity. God has transformed me in my inner being to be somebody different. And there will be trouble in this life, and we'll still deal with temptation. But that won't be fighting against myself. That will be fighting against sin that comes from the outside, from circumstances and hurt that come from other places. Jesus says, you will be born again. You will overcome this world. You will overcome the grave, because God is giving you a new identity. You become a new person. There will be trouble. But if you're a victim, God will transform you into a victor. He gives us new life. For some of us, today is a reminder of that. This is as we talk about application. For some of you, I want you to be reminded of that, because it can be sometimes easy to forget that we're not just people trying to be more moral. We're not just people trying to be more productive. We are transformed people who have been given a new identity. And if you want to live with deep self-esteem, true self-esteem and confidence in this world, despite the trouble that goes on around you, and I know it's there, we need something deeper. So I want to remind you of this. If you've put your faith in Jesus Christ, if you've accepted him as your Lord and your Savior, and here's how I want you to do it. I want you to take a sticky note or a cue card, something that you can write on. I want you to write this. And if you want, in your own words, the old is gone, the new has come. I am a child of God. This is language that the Apostle Paul, who wrote a bunch of our New Testament, used. And I want you to take that sticky note or that cue card. I want you to put it on your mirror. So that every morning when you look at it, before you go anywhere or do anything, you are reminded, the old is gone, the new has come. I'm a child of God. That's who I am in this world. Make it the background of your phone or your tablet or on your computer screen. Put it somewhere where you're going to see it over and over and over. Remind yourself, the old is gone, the new has come. I am a child of God. I am not the person that I once was. I am not the person that was lost. I am the person that's been given a new identity. I am a child of God, his son, his daughter. And live out of that strength. Know that you are loved. Know that you're forgiven. Know that God is your good, good heavenly Father. For some of you, this might be brand new. Maybe you were invited here for the first time. Maybe you came to watch someone get baptized today. We're so glad that you're here. I want you to know that there's a new life waiting for you. If you need a change, if you need something deeper, this is a message that's available to each and every one of us. You can't earn your way into it. You can't bring enough value to the relationship. But you need to know this, that God loves you. Before any of that, God has loved you. Apart from any of that, God has loved you. And he's inviting you to become his son or his daughter. And the invitation comes through Jesus Christ. We see that God loves us. God is love primarily as he sends his son, Jesus. We heard it even in a video already this morning. Whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life, true, deep, satisfying life. There will be trouble in this world. But for those in Christ, those who are born of God, we will overcome the world because he has overcome the world. When we find life in him, we go from being a victim to being a victor. And so here's what I invite you to do. Maybe even today you've heard this and you need a new life. I'm going to invite you to talk to the person who invited you. Come talk to me. We have a group that meets every week. And again, we heard about this morning called Starting Point. The group is for people who are new to the faith or who are asking questions about the faith. You don't have to know anything. You don't have to believe anything. This is a completely easy environment, non-intimidating environment for you to go and ask some questions and to have some people walk alongside of you. It meets every Sunday at 11:15 downstairs at the end of the hall. If you're looking to get connected in a minute, we'll have cards that you can fill out, and we'll get in touch with you if that's what you want. But just know that today can be the day. This can be your moment where you accept new life, a new life from Jesus Christ, not based on you, but based on him and what he's done for you and what he continues to do in this world and in those who accept by grace his forgiveness and proclaim, like we heard this morning, that Jesus is Lord. We give him all authority over our lives, our purpose, our time, our morality, everything. And we accept him as Savior, the one who has died for our sin, forgiven us, given us a new life so that we can live with him deep, satisfying, true life for all of eternity. The offer is for you. It's for us. It's for everyone. It's for this world. If we can help you in any way in your journey in discovering who Jesus is or how to grow in him, it would be our joy. It's why we're here. And those are the stories that we celebrate today. People who were once lost, once in darkness, and have been found, and now walk in the light and life of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are so good to us. Thank you for this amazing message. God, for those of us who have accepted it, I pray a reminder that we might never live a day without the confidence that we are your children, that you love us and care for us, that we are new people. Would it give us a boldness and a joy that we can walk in every day? And God, for anyone who's come today and doesn't know your love, God, I pray that today you would touch them with your Holy Spirit, that this message would resound in their lives, and that perhaps today would be the start of their faith journey as they ask questions or as they accept you wholeheartedly into their lives. God, thank you for being so good. Thank you for the stories this morning of Eniola and Emma, Jenna and Kat, and thank you that we get to celebrate and be part of their story. You're so good to us. In Christ's name, amen. Quickly, I have a couple of announcements, and then we'll wrap up in a second. First, just what I just said, our entire reason for existing here is to draw people into a loving relationship with Jesus Christ. And so if there's any way that we can help you in your relationship with Jesus, we want to be able to do that. And so especially if you're new or just visiting with us, I'd ask right now if you would take the card that's in the chair in front of you, it has an orange top, and if you'd fill it out for us, just let us know that you are here. We're not going to bug you or spam you with anything. We just want to be able to send you a quick email that gives you a welcome and lets you know that we're glad that you were here to be with us today. But if there's other ways that you would like to be connected, there's a number of boxes that you can check off in the back of that card. If you want to make a spiritual decision, or if you're just looking to know more about the church and how you can get connected, you can check off those boxes. And in just a second, we're going to pass our offering buckets and you can toss it in there. We'll make sure that we get connected with you this week. A reminder that Starting Point is our group that is specially designed for people who are either new to the faith or seeking about what does it look like, Christianity, who is Jesus, how do we relate to God, and that's a perfect place for you in a very non-intimidating way to get to know some people who can help answer your questions and walk with you through life. It happens every Sunday at 11:15. Again, if you want to indicate that on your card, you can do that or just show up next Sunday at 11:15 downstairs at the end of the hall. If you have any other questions about how you can get connected here, or how we can help you, there's our Connect Center in the lobby on your way out. You can go there and connect with one of our door holders. They have shirts on so that you'll know who they are. And we would love to make sure that anything that we can do to make you feel welcome or part of things here, we will do. Finally, we have some sad news. Here at Westside, we are a family. And when one of us hurts, all of us hurt. And this week, a significant family in our church, the Hamiltons, many of you know Dan, he's a leader here at Westside, and his brother Evan, who's a significant part of our church, suffered the loss of their mother suddenly, overnight, Tuesday to Wednesday, and they're hurting now. And so as a church, we want to come around them and show some support and love as they mourn. We collectively mourn together because we are family, and that's what we do with family. We show up for each other. So today, there's visitation for Lori, their mom, at the Turner Family Funeral Home, which is in Dundas, downtown Dundas, today from 2 till 4, and then again 7 till 9. If you'd like to come and show your support and love and an encouraging word to their family, 2 till 4 or 7 till 9 today at the Turner Family Funeral Home. And there's a service tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. at St. Paul's Church here in Westdale. Again, I'm sure the family would love your support as we come around them and show them love at this difficult time. And now we're going to pass our offering plates. And for those of you who give financially on a regular basis to support the ministry here, we want to say thank you. The ministry that happens here and what we do happens because people generously give. And when you give, you're giving to help ministry and to help us be part of stories like we've heard this morning of these amazing people who have given their life to Christ. And so today we celebrate that. We're so thankful to God and what he's doing in our community, in our city, and in this world. And it's our joy to give back to him. And so if you've come prepared to do that and to partner with us in this way, we thank you. And again, if you're new or visiting with us, please drop in that card so we can connect with you this week. That's all that we need for you. Thanks.